At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Let's pray together. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Chapter 1 of Luke is dominated by these incredible divine encounters with the angel Gabriel, the annunciations, as they're called, the announcements of the births of John the Baptist and Jesus. The old woman, Elizabeth, 50, 60 years old, really old, Phyllis. The old woman, Elizabeth, miraculously conceives a child who would be called John the Baptist, the prophet who would prepare the way for the Lord. And then Elizabeth's cousin, the young virgin Mary, is told that she would become pregnant with the messianic king, Jesus. Two ordinary women, two unlikely ordinary women, experiencing extraordinary blessings from heaven. And then, right next to these amazing divine encounters, we witness this much more down-to-earth blessing. The blessing of the special friendship between Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. As Mary and Elizabeth really needed one another at this time in their lives and their walk of faith and their calling the Lord had placed upon them, we need these kinds of special relationships in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes here. So upon hearing God's call to her, Mary hurries off to the hill country of Judea. You figure it's about 9 or 10 days walk. She wouldn't have been traveling alone. She would have traveled with family or others to go to Elizabeth and Zechariah's house. She wanted to go tell Elizabeth, her cousin, the good news. She enters Zechariah's and Elizabeth's home and greets them. She rings the doorbell. Now, some of you wonder who invented door-to-door evangelism. I think it's Mary. And some of us are terrified of this. It's Mary. She's going to the door, ringing the doorbell. She's evangelizing, gospeling Elizabeth. Maybe the first encounter of that sort. And Elizabeth hears the greeting in the name of Jesus, you know, as Mary walks in, and evidently so does the baby, or at least the baby in Elizabeth's womb senses something different, something special. And then John the Baptist, little baby John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so even at this point, you see how Jesus is so intimately connected with the Holy Spirit and how Jesus, where Jesus goes, there is joy. And you see that in the encounter here. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, just can't contain herself. She cries out, she sings out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And then look at verse 45 here. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, we can sing about all the feelings that must have been going on inside of Mary. Excitement, you know, just gladness, joy, but also, you know, Mary's human like we are, and I'm thinking she's filled with some anxiety. How would her family receive this news? Would Joseph believe her? Would Joseph put her out of relationship? Think about back in Nazareth, would she be ostracized in her home village of Nazareth? Or worse, would Mary be executed by the law for perceived infidelity? And maybe she was even experiencing some doubt. Could this really be? It's so impossible what she heard from the angel Gabriel. Now, I know in my life, when I've sensed God's call, and I imagine it's been the same with you, you sense the Lord telling you to do something or to step out towards something, and you're so excited. You're full of a passion to do it, and you jump out, you launch out, and then there's a season of second-guessing some things. You know, did I really hear God's voice there, or was that just my imagination? Did I hear God correctly? Can I really trust God? Why is there so much resistance? I'm sure Elizabeth's blessing strengthened Mary's faith and gave her deep courage to persevere in this call God laid upon her life. And if you look behind the just few verses here that we read this morning, to the period of time they spent together, 3 months. Of course, Mary, it's natural that she would stay with her cousin until Elizabeth had her child. So the next 3 months, if you think about that time, the picture becomes even more sweet. Imagine Mary and Elizabeth spending all that time together, talking about what the angel had said, talking about the implications of that, sharing their joys, sharing their fears, having a good cry together, as Ken saying, talking away in the kitchen. And then I think of two women in the kitchen, and then I think of Zechariah, and I wonder, where is he? Probably not in the kitchen. I imagine for those 3 months he couldn't get a word in edgewise. But Mary and Elizabeth encouraging each other, encouraging, affirming each other in the call God had placed on their lives, holding each other fast, holding each other strong in that call. And I imagine there was some clarity that came through this visit. I imagine, I think of what Elizabeth said to Mary, clarifying some things for Mary. In verse 43, Elizabeth, she's being helped and encouraged in her call as well. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, that title, Lord, Mary hadn't heard that title yet. She hadn't thought about that, Lord. What does that mean? There's this reaching forward. There's this prophetic foreshadowing, this revealing, even at that point, of Jesus' identity in God. Lord. That's language for God. Lord. A reaching ahead even to Jesus' resurrection, post-resurrection, when he would be called Lord. Lord of lords. King of kings. And so, as I was reading through and thinking about this, I experienced some things this week, and then it just came together with what I was reading, and I thought about, you know, something we call the prophetic word. And we don't talk about that much in Presbyterian circles. We read about it. We read about these prophetic words here in this passage, but what about in our daily lives? We don't think about that very much. And so I just want to share a couple things in that vein. So Sharon, my wife Sharon and I, and as most of you know, we've sensed the Lord saying some things to us, and we're launching out. And of course, there's some anxiety, there's excitement about that, but we're experiencing this call as good news because we know the one who's speaking it. It's God who's speaking this. And so we felt the call to step out and minister to the Muslim population. And, you know, there's all kind of uncertainty about it. The vision is a little bit blurry. And so we're trying to hold each other fast to this call. You know, what's it going to look like? Where's it going to take us? And this past week, I was sharing some of this with a group of pastors I've gotten together with over the past 5.5 years that you've heard about the Church Without Shoes, the pastors and leaders from 20, 30 churches in this area, churches from all different denominations and shapes and stripes of churches, kinds of churches. And I was sharing with them just what God had spoken to us. And they put me in what they call the mosh pit in the middle of the circle. And they just all laid hands on me and prayed for me. And it was so special. I was so encouraged and affirmed. And then afterwards, a woman came up. And she said, you know, I feel like the Lord gave me an image in my mind. This is a Presbyterian lady, actually. And she said, I want to share this image with you. I think it will encourage you. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives people a word or an image, a thought, you know, and that's what this was. So what she shared with me, just briefly, is that she said, when you were sharing, I had an image of a Muslim woman, and she was fully covered. Her face, her head was fully covered with a hijab, you know, the head covering. And she says, as Sharon and I approached the woman, she even lifted up the hijab higher, up to right under her eyes. And this Presbyterian woman said, you know, I think this is meant that there's going to be resistance at first. You know, real resistance at first. But then she said, my Presbyterian friend here said, you know what? But then the hijab kind of came down. And then it uncovered her mouth. And then the woman kind of found her voice and started speaking. And then the whole head covering came off. And she said, I just wanted to share that with you. And that was such a gift. And I've been pondering that. I've been sharing it with Sharon. Now I share it with you. Now, was it from the Holy Spirit? I think so. But, you know, we'll never know. Maybe it's an image. But it sure sounds like something from God, doesn't it? That, hey, there's going to be resistance to the gospel. And people are going to open up to it as well and have joy and find their voice and find their identity. And it's an affirmation, encouragement of that call. And I think of that affirmation with Mary and Elizabeth. And then I want to share just another word, I think, about First Presbyterian Concord. A few weeks ago, as you know, as part of our discernment process, we worked with an organization, a Christian organization called Crossroads Resolution Group, just working on some of the conflict around denominational issues and otherwise, and trying to come together in more unity as a session, our elders, our leaders. And, you know, into the experience a little bit, it was a weekend, one of our elders, Daryl McCollum, came back the next morning after a night of sleep, and he said, I want to share something with us that I think is a word from God that will encourage us. And I want to share this dream. Daryl's said it's fine to share this with you all. But he had a dream, and in the dream, there was three older women, more than 50 or 60. We're talking 80 or 90 and plus. And these three women, faithful members and leaders in this congregation, have been for decades. You would know them if I shared their names. Three older women, pillars, stalwarts of this congregation. And they held a brooch. They held a brooch in their hand, and it was dusty. It was dusty. And they handed it to the session. They came to the session, and they handed the brooch to the session. They dusted it off, and they handed it to the session. And then Daryl said he woke up. Right then. Then, you know, he went back to sleep again, had the same dream again, exactly. Then he woke up, went back to sleep, had the same exact dream again, and God got his attention, you know, and he said, I want to share this with session tomorrow. And so he did, and he shared it with one of the elders, and the woman said, I know what the brooch is. I know what that brooch is. The brooch is Jesus. You know, sometimes in the life of our church, we've kind of put a layer of dust on top of Jesus, and we forget just how wonderful and amazing he is. And so these three, that the word we think is like, you know, one generation passing the ways of Jesus on to the next generation of leaders and disciples. And now I think that's a word from the Spirit, but, you know, maybe it's not, but it sure sounds like something Jesus would affirm and say, amen to that. The older generation passing on to the next generation. My son, faith, strengthening that next generation. I want to pursue that idea, older and younger generation, just for the next couple minutes, because there's something in that very important for us. The older and wiser and faith-seasoned Elizabeths of our lives, passing on the faith to the younger Marys. You can call it mentoring. I like to call it discipling. You know, every Elizabeth, every older person who's been around the block with Christ for a few times needs to have a Mary, a younger person, younger in the faith, younger by age probably, needs to have a Mary. And every Mary, someone who's just coming up in the faith, needs an Elizabeth, an older, wiser, spiritual mentor in their lives. And now, some of you guys, when I start thinking, you know, all the Elizabeths need Marys and Marys need Elizabeth, you're shutting your ears off thinking, well, this is just kind of a sermon for the ladies out here. No, it's the same concept we've been talking about. I've used language like every Paul needs a Timothy. You know, the great apostle Paul took Timothy under his wing and poured into him, and every Timothy needs a Paul in their life. We need these relationships more than any program in the church, more than any function in the church. We need these relationships. Now, we have an older congregation, and sometimes you'll hear in conversations, nothing antagonistic about that, but just kind of, well, we have an older congregation. How are we going to find people for the committees? How are we going to find people to do this and that? You know, there's health issues in an older congregation. There's energy issues in an older congregation. And sometimes we hear like some negative side of that, but I want to share the good news about that. The good news about having an older congregation. You know, people in their older years have, think of the spiritual wisdom that we have here collectively. That is an asset in the kingdom of God. And God doesn't waste any asset. We waste assets as people. God doesn't waste anything. And the good news is that Jesus has invested so much into your lives. If you've walked with Jesus for scores of years, 50, 60, 70, 80 and more years, think of what Jesus has put into your life through other people. You're Elizabeth. You're Elizabeth. And now think of the people around you who need that investment, who need to be taken under somebody's wing, to have just life experience and faith and poured into them. There's a lot of Marys around here. And sometimes they fall through the cracks. We need to pay attention. Your faith needs to be passed on to the next generation. You don't need to be an expert in the scriptures. You don't. It's more about paying attention to somebody. That's the gift. What's most needed in the lives of the Marys or the Timothys, the younger people in the faith around us, is attention paid to them. You know, what about spending your final years investing what people have put into your life, into the Timothys, into the Marys? Invite them to coffee. Ask them about their life. As simple as that. Open the Bible, read a few verses. What's God saying in these verses? How can we follow God together? Encourage them. Pray for them. Be there for them. Do life with them. That's what it's about. That's Elizabeth being Elizabeth to Mary. Walk with them. Today you can actually visit the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, or where tradition places that home. Tradition places it in a village called Ein Karim. It's on a hill, just a few miles from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You could walk it in an hour. There's a church there commemorating this visit between Elizabeth and Mary. It's called Church of the Visitation. It's built atop an ancient cistern. And some say that the two women must have drawn water together at that cistern, you know, as they talked and prayed and shared life together. Now, outside the church, there's a bronze sculpture which shows Mary and Elizabeth greeting one another. And just beyond, there's a wall with Mary's song, the Magnificat. You can read the Mary's Magnificat as she just is filled with joy from this visit and from the words of Elizabeth. And she just, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She just bursts into song. Read it this week, the Magnificat. But you can read that in dozens of languages on that wall there at this site. And I love Adam Hamilton. He writes about visiting that spot in Israel. He stood watching busloads of visitors at this site, and he was struck by the number of women who came to this holy site. He says he watched as African women embraced each other and as European and Latina women came holding hands or laughing together, often stopping to have their picture taken in front of this bronze statue of Mary and Elizabeth. And Adam Hamilton says there was such a sense of joy in that place because all these people streaming to this spot. And it's like there's joy in their hearts as they laughed and shared together. And it's like they were remembering this visit of Mary and Elizabeth and commemorating it and thinking of how that works in their own friendships, in their own lives. Just praising God for the gift of friendship, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we don't have to go to that village to commemorate that relationship. You can experience the joy of it right now in your life by investing in the life of someone younger or younger in the faith, or by being invested in by someone older in the faith. We need this. We absolutely need this nourishment. We need to come alongside one another and hold one another strong in knowing and in affirming and following Jesus Christ together. Affirming God's call on each other's lives, because it's hard. We second guess. We forget what God has said. And we need someone else to come alongside and say, you can do it. This was God in your life. I'm with you. I'm your cheerleader. You know, call me when things are tough. Call me when things are wonderful. It's these relationships gathered around Jesus Christ is what we see with Mary and Elizabeth. There's a picture of the church. Relationships gathered around relationship with Jesus Christ. That's sweet stuff, isn't it? That's the sweet stuff, relationships. Now, you want to leave a legacy? You want to leave a legacy? Investing your faith in others is a great one. It's the best one. Now, there won't be a bronze statue commemorating your relationships. The memorial will be upon the hearts of those you come to know and love and invest in. The memorial's on the hearts of people you've helped follow God's call in their lives. Amen.